Blog Talk Radio.
Peace and love, family. Peace and love. Thank you for tuning in to another live edition of Twin Flame Radio. I'm a little late, but it's all good. Yes, honey, we are doing a great show for you today. But first off, let me introduce myself. I am Divine Queen, and I'm here with my Enlightened King, Chris. Say a little something to the fam.
Peace, peace, family. What it do is the delectable one, Chris Enlightened. You know, so I've been told that's tasty.
Who told you that?
You did.
I didn't tell you that.
You did.
No, I did.
You're like, God, dog, you taste good.
Don't lie to the fam.
I'm lying. All taste bad, though.
I didn't say you taste bad, but I ain't never say you taste cheese.
You did. It's like, God, oh, you taste good.
I never said that.
I remember you said
that. No.
It may have been green.
It was.
But I remember it.
Anyway, fam, you always start this stuff off crazy. We want to thank you for tuning in to another live edition of Twin Flame Radio. We are excited to do this show today, fam. It's something that we've been talking about for a while, and then we finally got it out there. So we are going to be going in on one of our favorite pastimes, something that pretty much brought us together when we first started dating, and that was the movies.
Yeah, we used to go to the movies and just talk. We would break down the movies at night. Like,
yeah.
Go to the movies, stay up to like 5 in the morning, just break down the movie.
Yeah.
And I was always fascinated with your mind because you were the only other human that watched movies from a higher perspective that I did, even back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't really have a lot of information, but I was a ponderer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I was like, man, I think this is like this. I think this probably be like this. I remember when we went to go see Stargate.
Oh, that was probably the first really deep on that next level movie we saw together.
Our consciousness. Yeah. We kept looking at each other like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, I appreciate your beautiful mind too.
Facts. It is so titillating. Sometimes I titillate myself. I'll be like, man, I can't believe I just thought of that.
It's not tasty, though.
It's tasty. It's tasty.
So over the course of 24 years, we've seen, I can't even think about how many movies we've seen together. You know, we've seen movies apart because sometimes you're up late at night watching movies without me.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm watching movies without you because we like a lot of the same things, but then sometimes we kind of go off on our own and we do our own thing. I like more of the romantic comedy, especially comedy type stuff, and you like the
murder, death, kill, yeah, horror,
yeah,
sci-fi. Yeah.
And we like both, but
like,
you know,
both. But you know, it's a murder, death, kill. I'm turning on murder, death, kill. If you're in a room, we're watching something about love.
Or comedy,
yeah.
Or drama. I love drama.
You do love drama.
Drama's probably my favorite.
She just now getting hip to Liam Neeson.
I am not just now getting hip to Liam Neeson. I love Liam Neeson. I've been watching Liam Neeson for years. I'm just getting hip to the movie Taken.
Okay.
So,
yeah, there you
go. Difference.
I go all the way back to Rob Roy. So, I've watched everything he's put out.
I haven't seen everything he's put out, but I've seen pretty much close to everything.
Yeah, you have. You just got two more Takens to watch.
I got two more Takens to watch. Taken was good.
It was. It was good. 10 years ago when it came out, it was good too.
Hey, man. At the time, I was like, you know.
Yeah, I know.
I know what this movie's going to be about. Yeah. But it was so much deeper than that.
So much deeper than that.
And it was, this was before I really had an appreciation of Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
So when I really started liking Liam
that
Neeson
commuter,
a lot, that's
that
what,
commuter.
Commuter.
The commuter was banging.
Oh,
so underrated.
So underrated. That and The Wolf. What was
the
movie
Wolf.
Called? Was
remember.
It called The Wolf? Or was,
no.
It was called The Gray.
The Gray. No one's seen The Gray.
Oh, my gosh.
Please watch The Gray.
The Gray was so good.
Yeah, it's like, what are you going to do, Liam?
You know, he's, like, becoming one of my favorite actors as far as, like, you know, he's not really an action
He's like a
actor.
Realistic actor.
Yeah.
It's like, what would you do? You know, this dude's 65 years old.
Right. I mean, he's not doing a whole lot where he's, like, kicking butt and stuff. Not in all his, some of his movies.
Of
Taken,
movies.
He was kicking butt.
Yeah.
But, you know, in some of his movies, he's just like, he's a thinker.
He's a thinker.
Love that.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
He's always thinking, like, you know, what to do next or who did it or how would they do this.
Yeah.
And
the commuter. The
things
the commuter,
the commuter
was, so
was like, oh, that's
it was so
love.
Good.
Oh, man.
I'm about to watch that again.
And you know what else I liked about The Commuter was that they didn't play it down like he was an old, young guy. He was an old, old guy.
Yeah, he was a retired dude, yeah.
Yeah, and they even treated him like an old man in the movie, like, you know, we don't want you no more because you know you old.
Right.
You old, man.
Right.
Face it.
Facts.
Old. Mm-hmm. You know, but you had to show him.
Yeah.
You had to show him.
You had to show them.
So, over the weekend, I made a post on Facebook. I believe it was Saturday. Yes, Saturday I make these posts every Saturday where I ask a question to the fam and just try to get some feedback on, you know, it's fun to see how what everybody thinks and what level people are on, and you know, we can laugh at each other and
we have some
notes.
Intellectually astute friends.
We very
our
much
friends
do.
Are smart.
Our friends are smart, spiritual, and banging.
And banging.
Full
yeah.
package.
And our mamas is smart, too.
Oh, our mamas is the bomb.
Man. My mom used to always challenge me. She'd be like, I ain't going to read it, but you better. I'm like, dang, okay.
And my mom was the type that was like, I read it, now you read it, too, and tell me what you thought. And you better get it right.
Hey, my mama knew my mind was going to be my way out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Love her for that. Shout out to my mama. Shout out to my mom-in-law.
But this weekend I made a post, and the post was to name a movie that traumatized you as a kid.
Mm.
And it was very interesting to see what people's responses were.
The age gaps.
Oh, wow, yeah.
What was a freaking joke to me.
Yeah, it was terrifying
to some
people.
Of these people. Like, you know, the Smurfs. Oh, my God. Asriel. I was like, really? Asriel?
Man, no one said,
no one said that, but it was like that, though. And who would have known Asriel's the name of a demon?
Yeah.
You
know,
they had
right?
so much in their TV, man. You know what I mean?
That's what we're going to be going in on tonight, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, the most, I think the one that took the cake as far as the scariest movie response by everyone was The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think The Exorcist came out when I was probably about
4 or 5.
Yeah,
we were young.
We were so young.
We weren't able to see.
Nah, I didn't see it till later.
Yeah, I seen it later on.
Yeah, it was pretty scary.
Yeah.
It wasn't traumatizing. You know, it wasn't like that. You know,
it was the first of its kind.
Night, but it was the first that I knew of where like a demon possessed a kid.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, that was you know, and if you grew up, you know, in a religious household,
yeah,
then, yeah, you might have been scarred,
yeah,
which, you know, a lot of us did, so
yeah,
understandable. But the runners up, which I thought were, you know, like you said, it was funny to me. Freddy Krueger.
Really? It really? The clown?
Well, you know what? The first It I didn't think was funny. I mean, I didn't think was scary.
Mm.
But the second It was a little spookier.
The remake?
The remake
of It was good.
The remake shut the old one
killing
down.
Killing the old
one.
Killing it.
And they left it open so that they could do more, too.
I ain't gonna lie. I jumped twice in the new It. I was like, whoa. I thought this was gonna be funny. Hey, man, I gotta get this cover.
And it was like, you know, in the first one, they kind of hinted around to the things that he was doing. This one, they was like,
they were showing him to do it. Like, yeah.
I'm about to eat this kid.
Hey, come on, he eating the kid. Come on. I'm like, dang. Eating this baby. Where's the cover?
Let's see. And then the other one that people responded a lot to was Candyman. And, you know, again, Candyman wasn't scary. I thought Candyman was funny. I thought Nightmare on Elm Street was funny. But, you know,
I heard you was looking for Candyman. That part right there, I was dying for days.
Everyone in our era, we said that all the time as a joke. It was just something that you said.
Right.
Knock, knock. Who's there?
Heard you looking for Candyman. B-word. And people thought that was scary.
Yeah. It just goes to show, like, what some people consider scary and what people consider funny and what some people just consider, you know, just a good movie.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. So I'll probably do another one like that, maybe do a different type of genre or something.
Well, see, what that post did was showed you the barometer of people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
Since we were introduced to The Exorcist, we were horror desensitized.
We were, yeah.
But these kids hadn't seen that. They see Candyman, Helen.
He called Helen's name.
And they scared. You know what I'm saying?
But, you know, it took an interesting twist, though, because we are scary movies. Like, I remember Halloween being kind of scary.
Yeah.
You know, I remember
Christine was scary a little bit.
Yeah, so our scary was more of the suspense.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't really see a whole lot happen. You just knew it happened. And this new generation, they show everything. I mean, it's so gory.
But what that proved to me was sound in your own imagination is much more scarier than you see in it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can have a limitless amount of scary thoughts in a few seconds. Well, this, what if this works, they're just showing you and then it's over.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I think a good movie that's recently done that was A Quiet Place.
A Quiet Place was really
so
good.
So suspenseful.
It was like that old school.
It was that Alfred Hitchcock, old school. You was quiet too.
Yeah.
You were quiet too. Like, I'm not seeing nothing. Watch A Quiet Place. A
Quiet Place was good, man.
Yeah, watch it after 10 o'clock. You're going to be up.
Yeah, so as you can see, we love movies. We sit around and talk about movies all the time.
We do.
You know, we love it. Amongst TV shows and things like that. But, you know, movies is definitely a high on our list. So before we get in on these movies, you want to talk about anything? Did we do anything this weekend?
We went out to Dumesh, our favorite new Indian spot.
Oh, yeah. We went to the Indian place. And Chris thought it would be interesting to go up a spice level on his food, knowing that he can't handle hot food. So that was funny.
It's not that I can't handle it. I can handle it. mm-hmm. but my body responds to it in an unfavorable way. That's what I say. I can handle it, but my body responds to it in an unfavorable way.
I like the way you twist your words.
I'm not. I'm just speaking. That's the vernacular that I choose. You know, my mouth gets really hot and mm-hmm. the back of my neck gets really moist.
Mm-hmm.
And sweat starts bellowing out my pores.
Extremely bad.
Extremely bad.
And you guzzle down a lot of water.
I do drink a lot of water. That I do.
And then we had your family reunion this weekend.
We had my family reunion this weekend,
too.
And that
was nice. It was the first year that the weather was just perfect.
The first year that I felt like I was about to have a heat stroke. Jeez. It was cool. It was nice. We had a good time.
We did. We had a really good time.
You know, seeing all the new, every new year we got like 10 new babies. You know, and just seeing everybody together like that.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to my mama. She was looking so good.
Mm-hmm.
Losing all that weight. I mean, she don't see it because she with herself every day, but I ain't seen her in a minute. Oh, my dang, my mama got up like that, like my mama.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, I see you. That's showing off her little waistline. I said, I see that waistline. She's in her 30s. Man, I should tell her, put that waistline up. You're going out. I should be like, what time are you coming back home? Like I was the daddy. Shut up, boy. Had a good time.
He's so silly.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, she does. She looks really good. Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing the rest of her transformation.
Feel like she watched thinner all day. Thinner. I'm gonna leave my mama alone before she get me. You know how she get me. Oh, Lord, get me.
Oh man, you silly. All right, so let's go in on these movies. So we've picked out four movies for the first Twin Flame movie episode, and moving forward, we're gonna do one episode a month, and we'll just pick four new movies. And then at the end of the show, we're going to reveal our Twin Flame movie pick of the month.
Mm.
Pretty much what we want you to do is watch the movie that we suggest and then reach out to us and give us some feedback. Let us know what you thought about it, if you liked it, if you loved it, if you hated it. You won't because we picked it out.
Thanks.
But, you know, everybody's entitled to their opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So, which movie do you want to start with?
Let's go into Wakanda.
Wakanda.
Boom, 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 boom. I can't do that. My throat too dry.
I can't do that either. It wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad.
It wasn't
great. The first time I ever tried to do that, didn't it? Wow.
So Wakanda has turned out to be like one of the biggest movies of all time.
Yeah.
It has grossed, you know, I think it's like the top three highest gross movie of all time. Mm-hmm. And it's also the highest grossing Marvel movie of all time.
I mean, when you think about top grossing movie of all time, it made the list in like a few days.
Oh, yeah. It was
where other movies had been out for years and made it.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be the best movie ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
And, you know, we kind of went back and forth on if we should talk about Wakanda because everyone's talked about Wakanda and everyone's like in this Wakanda fever and everything. But, you know, it's a good thing to talk about it because why not ride it while it's high? And we know everyone's seen the movie.
And not everyone has an elevated perspective like we do on movies.
Exactly.
And that's what we're going to talk about. We're not going to talk about the mundane Wakanda.
Mm-mm.
We're going to talk about the high peripheral of mm-hmm. Wakanda.
So, off-grid, one of the first things that caught my attention about the movie was the whole mentioning and embracing of the ancestors.
Mm-hmm. That was good. That was good. I like how you had to, in order to connect with your ancestors, you had to be buried alive and go to the astral realm and speak to the ancestors in the past, all of the ancestors. So when that happened, we looked at each other like, whoa.
We looked at each other like that whole movie because there was just so much going on. It was we just kept turning, grinning,
kept
and looking at each other
grinning,
like, oh, my God. Did you hear that? Did
you hear
see
that? It was like a movie within the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the director had an elevated perspective. He had to be enlightened or he wouldn't do all this stuff.
Had to have, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But just that, going to the other side, speaking with the ancestors, being buried in the dirt,
mm-hmm.
that was deep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Even talking about the astral plane is deep.
Oh, yeah.
This is real. We go there a lot. Mm-hmm. And we come back and talk about our dreams daily.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they be so vivid.
Oh, yeah.
Once you stop, you know, drinking and all the other alternative things that you may do that you think you need, that suppresses your gifts, when you go over to the dream state, you can't wait to go to sleep because you're going to have such a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of having one dream, you had like five banging dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember everything about them. And he was able to go into the astral plane, communicate with his ancestors, and get the answers he needed.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was deep.
That was so deep.
They mentioned Hanuman. Really?
Hanuman.
Come on.
You know, the whole tribe was the tribe, the monkey tribe, mm-hmm. you know, so that was deep right there. A lot of people don't know about the Hanuman deity, and, you know, he's actually one of the characters that I wrote in my book, I Am,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, he's always been one of my favorites. He was one of the first ones that I was attracted to because, you know, it was just, I remember I saw his statue. We was at an Asian Mart, and I saw his statue, and I just thought it was just so powerful that, you know, because most of the time when you think about monkeys, you don't think about warriors. You don't think about, you know, supernatural beings. You know, you think about, you know.
Somebody being funny.
Yeah, being
little
funny
hat on,
and goofy.
Little suit.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Exactly.
You know.
And to see them as, you know, see them as a strong warrior type was just fascinating for me.
Yeah.
So when I seen that they had introduced that into the movie, I was just like, oh, wow. And they were some beasts. That tribe was some beasts. I love when, you know, the guy from the CIA mm-hmm. came over and he kept trying to talk and they just kept shutting him up.
You say something again, we'll feed you to my children. I'm playing. I'm a vegetarian. I was like, oh.
Yeah, that was beastly. And then they also mentioned the goddess Bass.
They did.
Which was, you know.
Yeah.
Mm, eh? Black Panther.
Mm. One of the most momentous and one of the deepest aspects of Wakanda that I'm not sure a lot of people even thought about was how they was able to keep their culture
mm-hmm.
and weave in the technology within their culture.
Yeah, that part was beautiful. You know, our master explained to us way before this movie was out that there are beings that live amongst us
mm-hmm.
in cloak cities.
Yeah.
And so when we've seen that, you know, they were, you know, flying uh-huh. into this cloaked city, you know, at first they were, you know, regular Africa and whatnot. But then when they went through like this, you know, I guess it wasn't a portal, it was just like a cloak. They, you know, they flew through and it was like this beautiful land and it was just, you know, and it was hidden.
It was hidden, but they still kept their culture, and I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And the symbolism to me was that was this. A lot of people in the Western world think you have to strip away your true self in order to evolve. But that's not true.
Mm-mm.
It's good to evolve within your culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing against hair weaves, nothing against any of the stuff that we do to ourselves. That's not helping ourselves. That it takes away from our natural look. But we think we need to do that. But when you embrace yourself and incorporate technology within your culture, I think that you advance better.
Mm.
Because they still had the trees and all that stuff. They
mm-hmm.
were they looked primitive, but there were aspects of them that was like really advanced.
Oh yeah, they were extremely advanced. Just the little sister alone, you know, she was the one who was developing the uniforms and the weapons and the, you know, everything. And she was, you know, she was a little kid.
Yeah, little kid.
Well, a little kid to me.
Well, she was young. But another thing about the Wakanda movie that I don't think people really thought about was the vibranium.
Yes, go in on the vibranium, please.
You know, when I was looking at Wakanda, when I was looking at the vibranium, it was something that gave them an edge on everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was looking at the vibranium, I was thinking like, wow, this is the consciousness that sleep within people. And you can use the vibranium or your consciousness to evolve to a level where no one can touch you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I got out of the vibranium. Everything that we need when we spiral into this reality is already within us.
Mm-hmm.
All we have to do is unlock it. That's all we have to do. We don't have to search for anything. We don't need to get saved. we're already here.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the vibranium was nothing more than the consciousness of humans. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You know, another thing I liked was how they depicted the polarity between T'Challa and Killmonger.
Mm-hmm.
How Killmonger embraced the divine masculine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he embraced the lower vibration side of divine masculine.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And T'Challa embraced the positive side of the divine masculine.
Mm-hmm.
And was more towards the divine feminine side because he was really nurturing and caring.
Yes.
When every time you seen him, he was like holding back tears.
Mm-hmm.
Even the warrior woman was like, don't hesitate.
Yeah.
Embrace your king. Don't hesitate. He hesitated. She come out the sky and saved the day.
Mm.
So I liked how they depicted polarity in things. And when I was looking at that, I was like, wow, you need both of those.
Mm-hmm.
And to be a good ruler, you got to have balance within yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You got to embrace the divine masculine and the divine feminine of yourself in order to expand your consciousness to a place where you can do whatever it is you need to do. You got to know when to pull the masculine, when to pull the feminine. But that's something that's lost in our culture right now. We're over the top on different aspects of that, either too hard or too dang soft.
And, you know, and it was portrayed the same way with the women as well.
Mm-hmm.
The toughest warriors were the women.
Yeah.
You know, and you said something about, you know, them being in, you know, women being in your natural state. They all had bald heads.
Yeah.
And they didn't care.
No.
They were still pulling men.
Yeah.
They were still beautiful.
They were gorgeous.
They were beautiful women.
Yeah.
You know, and they were powerful. The little sister, she was, you know, the smartest one there.
Mm-hmm.
But then you also had, you know, the mother who played the mother role,
mm-hmm.
you know, the nurturer and everything. So there was still that balance within there.
Mm-hmm.
His girlfriend,
yeah.
She was, you know, she was so soft and nurturing and everything. But
when it was time.
But when it was time, you know, she wasn't no joke either.
She wasn't.
So, you know, it was perfect balance in there.
But one thing I want to say before we pick up the caller.
Mm-hmm.
Is I hope the women seeing how when you embrace your natural self, how strong you could be,
mm-hmm.
how powerful you can be. When T'Challa went to talk to the world, to open up to the world about who they was, he didn't have men at them at the press conference. He had two women by him
mm-hmm.
because he knew that they was going to handle business.
Mm-hmm.
Women have a way of seeing things that men can't see because they're more of an empath.
Mm-hmm.
They can pick up danger innately before.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's where the earrings come from.
Mm-hmm.
All those back in the day when the earrings first came out, thousands of years ago, they would use these gold and silver earrings in their ears and they would glow when danger was coming. We use them as a fashion sense now.
Hmm.
Yeah. I can go deep on that while we do the earrings and all that other good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll say that for another show. My mama on. My mom.
All right, so we're going to bring your mom through. I just want to remind the fam that if you would like to come through, you have any questions, or you want to say what's up, you can give us a call at 619-924-0835. Hit number one if you're already on the line, and we'll bring you through.
Mm-hmm.
So here is your mama.
Hey, peace. You know I like to watch movies, too, so I had to call in to chime in.
Yeah.
The one movie that I like, I don't know if y'all going to talk about this, that I don't think got a lot of play was Ripple in Time.
You know what? That's next on our list. We wanted to watch that one.
Okay,
it's
okay.
Deep.
Well, I won't talk about that then. I won't talk about that.
Yeah.
I'll let y'all talk about that one then, but that's a good movie.
We'll talk about it next month, and that'll be on our list next month.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to talk about that because I wanted to watch that with our some movies we watch as a family because
mm-hmm.
we know that's going to
okay.
be so deep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
It kind of reminds me.
Thing,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to talk about you talking about I'm losing weight. That's part of my research for my next book.
Yeah. That's
and
what's up.
And my next book is going to be called The Reincarnation of Emma.
Ooh.
Well, I'm talking about my spiritual path and my physical transformation. I'm doing research and I'm gonna talk about how I lost the weight and everything, and that's gonna be out next year probably sometime. The Reincarnation of Emma.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Winning all day.
I can't let y'all outdo me. Y'all trying to outdo me in these books. I started the whole thing. Now y'all trying to outdo me.
I got one dropping next week, and I got one dropping in October.
I know.
I ain't playing.
Y'all trying to play. That's all. I wanted to be the first one to say something. That's all I want to talk about, y'all.
you know, you already got a place here. It's all good. Peace and love.
All right. Peace and love.
My mama started it. She write a book. I got to write a book too. I got my mama outdoing me. You want to go on to the next one?
Yeah, let's go on to the next one.
Okay.
So let's talk about, let's talk about Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.
So Nightmare on Elm Street got a lot of attention over the weekend with the post that I made. A lot of people were terrified of from this movie. They were traumatized from it. And, when you think about the whole concept of the movie, it was really deep. It went into, astral traveling, being lucid,
abduction,
willpower,
creating your reality,
creating realities, creating your doom.
Because he couldn't hurt you if you didn't know about Fred Krueger.
Yeah,
but someone told you about Fred Krueger, he gonna come to you.
And the one thing is that when you gave him power, when you were afraid of him, when you believed in him and you were afraid of him, then that gave him power to attack you.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in the first one, Nancy finally had figured out, I'm not afraid of you. You can't do anything to me. And he struck his arm at her and it just kind of went through her and he ended up disappearing or whatever.
Yep.
He came back like 8 more times, but it was the whole concept of, her owning her power and not letting him win, helped her to live, even though he kept haunting her.
In my book, Wealth Consciousness, I talk about synthetic suffering and how you can create this weird synthetic symmetry by what you believe. It's like if you believe you're going to get hurt or going to get sick, or let's say someone says you got diabetes and you believe it, you create the reality in which you can get diabetes.
Mm.
But if someone says, hey, you got diabetes, and you're like, no, I don't. I cannot get diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
You go back to the doctors, they'll be like, the diabetes is gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So we have the power. See, this reality is nothing more than an illusion.
Mm-hmm.
And Fred Krueger was an illusion to those who didn't believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
But if you believed in him, he was real, and he was able to get you. And one of the things that got me watching Fred Krueger back in the day was, you got to go to sleep.
Yeah, you can't escape it.
And the longer you try to stay up, the longer you got to deal with him.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, what you going to do?
Mm-hmm. You know what I liked about it was the collective consciousness. So he would terrorize a group of people, and together, because they were together, in their fear, it made them weaker. But when they realized, what they had to do to, get through it, then together they would be stronger. Sometimes they get picked off. The weak ones get picked off.
Yeah.
But, it was, and together, one person would usually dream about them first, and then they would tell the next person, and then the next person would, entertain the idea. And because they gave him power by believing in him, they created him.
Yeah.
Kind of like how you would create, a god.
Exactly how you would create a god. You get enough people collectively believing in something. Whenever you think of something, you create an atom on a quantum level, and you give it a consciousness. Depending on how much you think about it and what actions you take, the atom grows. And eventually, it'll manifest in your reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did with Fred Krueger. I mean, how long did that movie come out, and babies are still dressed up like Fred Krueger? You don't see that many Jasons running around here.
You know, I think one of the reasons why Freddy was so scary was because he just looked grotesque.
He looked grotesque, but he had the swag of a black man. He had the swag of, got your nose!
And he was the first one to have, like, the...
The Michael Jackson glove,
the knife
claws.
Yeah.
And he'd be scratching the board. You know, Freddy Krueger's coming.
Right.
And the thing about Freddy Krueger that I liked was, a lot of people think when you get abducted by aliens, they come in your house and beam your body up. That's not how they abduct you. They abduct your spirit self.
Mm-hmm.
And they do things on your spiritual body. They upgrade you, not to hurt you. They upgrade you. And they may probe you and poke things in you. But when you wake up, those things show up on your physical body. So when Fred Krueger was in the astral realm killing people, hurting people, scratching people, you wake up with the scratch on your arm as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was pretty deep.
You know, I liked in the first one when she decided, when Nancy figured out that she had brought his hat through her dream. She had went to the dream clinic and she was asleep. And when she woke up, she had pulled his hat off his head and she was able to bring it into her reality.
Yeah.
And then she figured out, okay, this is how I'm going to kill him. I'm going to bring him through. I'm going to bring him out of this astral realm or this dream state into a physical reality where he's more vulnerable.
And some advanced masters have the ability to do that. They're able to bring things out physically, but they always evaporate what burns them.
Mm-hmm.
Because things from other realities can only traverse to our reality in our minds.
Mm-hmm.
Our minds are we're multidimensional beings where we can't take anything over there and we can't pull anything out from over there.
Mm-hmm.
We can try to, but it's going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing to do, you know, that's a whole nother show. I'm not going to give them that right now.
I would say don't even try.
Don't even try. Yeah, there you go. Don't even try.
You don't know who you're taking from. You don't want to mess with them.
That's real.
You don't mess with these supernatural beings.
You're right, baby. You're right. You know, I'm a warrior bunny, so you know, I try stuff.
And then the last thing about the Nightmare on Elm Street series was that it was powerful in the sense that they were aware of themselves in the dream. So they were lucid.
Yeah.
You know, there were times in a couple of them where they were like, okay, I'm dreaming. This isn't real. And then when they would get hurt, it was like, ouch, that hurt.
Yeah,
this is real.
This is real. What is a dream? Yeah. And what I liked about that, because the better they got at in the dreams and being lucid, the more real the dream felt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it is in real life.
Mm-hmm.
When you get a dream manual or dream book and you don't fall asleep, you go to sleep with an intention, like, I'm going to dream about this.
Mm-hmm.
And when you wake up in your dream state, all your emotions and senses are heightened. You can smell, taste, feel, and everything's feel real to the point where you'd be like, am I dreaming? You're like, I am dreaming. Oh, my goodness. I'm freaking dreaming. You know, so, yeah.
You know, my favorite one was the Dream Warriors.
The Dream Warriors.
And the reason why that one was one of my favorites was because they not only were aware how to become lucid in their dreams, but they were aware of how to take advantage of it.
Yeah.
So one guy became a wizard.
Yeah.
The other dude had super strength.
Okay.
The one chick was cold with the knives.
She was cold with the knife. The goth chick.
Yeah. So they... Yeah. They embraced they knew how to take advantage of their super being selves, meaning that they were able to develop super whatever, strength, powers, whatever.
And we all have that.
Exactly.
We all have a divine self that we can pull from. Like when I heal people, I don't heal people with my mortal self. I reach out to my divine self to heal people.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Ooh.
Love that movie. That's probably one of the best horror movies as far as how the conception was brought about.
The predecessor to Nightmare on Elm Street was a movie I seen when I was a kid. I grew up by a movie theater, so I've seen a lot of movies. Was this movie called Dreamscape.
Mm-hmm.
And within Dreamscape, the government was using this guy to tap into your dreams to scare you into signing away your property or whatever. And if you didn't, they would scare you to death in your dream.
Yeah, and then you would die.
And then you would die in, mm-hmm. in real life, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that was a goodie but oldie.
Yeah, goodie but oldie.
So let's take a step towards your realm. Let's talk about the one.
Ooh, the one with Jet Li. Jet Li. This movie with Jet Li, it was about string theory and parallel universes. And Jet Li was able to travel to different parallel universes, meet his doppelganger, kill his doppelganger, and get the power of his doppelganger and use it in his reality. That right there was just unheard
of. And the whole
objective
was for him to be the only one of himself.
And if you're the only one, you're a god. See, a lot of people don't realize this. I may put this in the end of my next of my current book. Is we're like we're all gods, and we're like sparks, and we create ourselves in multi dimensions to experience life on many levels.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and when that happens, when we all transcend, when we all die, we have a amalgamation of life experiences, and it brings us closer to our divine self. It makes us an even more divine person. So when he was killing himself, he was essentially killing off all the other aspects of himself to be the divine one, the I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And on the flip side of that, when you're trying to grow spiritually, you want to kill off all the negative aspects of yourself so you can be the best version
mm-hmm.
of yourself. I wasn't getting that from the movie when I initially seen it.
Nah.
But as I matured spiritually, I started seeing what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
How he was killing off his other aspects of himself. And another thing that they showed that I don't think a lot of people even picked up on. I think they did a little bit. But every life we live, throughout all of the string theories and parallel universes, they're eerily similar to the life you're living now.
That's what I was going to say. That was one of the things that fascinated me the most about that movie was that in each of the lives, he was a little different. But his circle was pretty much the same. No matter what he did in his life, he was still around the same circle of people.
Even the dog was the same.
Even the dog.
Because dogs have souls. Mm-hmm. And when we incarnate into this reality, we choose every aspect of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And that every aspect traverses through all the string theories that we go through.
And another, you know, amazing thing about that movie was the Universal Police Department. So you have this unit, this department of people, these overseers,
mm-hmm.
to make sure that, you know, things are going the way that they're supposed to be going. And, I mean, that was just like, that was fascinating to me because, you know, and even they, through different universes, were different people.
They were different people. See, the thing that they were afraid of, because there's a system going on, and if you kill off all the aspects of yourself, it could potentially break the system.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the one, there was balance still, because
mm-hmm.
there was two left.
Yeah.
If he would have killed off himself, he would have been a god, but everything else probably would have ended.
Mm-hmm.
So the one was a really good movie.
It was a really good movie.
Yeah.
That was a good
really good.
I know you loved it for the martial arts.
Oh, yeah. You know,
that was the first time. Well, no, that wasn't the first time. That was the second time I seen Jet Li play a bad guy. And I just love Jet Li as a bad guy. I think
no
he
one
is
does
just
it
the
better.
Stuff. Man.
No one does it better.
He's cold.
No
he
one
was
does
cold.
It
yeah. I like him as a good guy, too. But
yeah, he's
when
great
he's
as
a
good
guy,
but when he's a bad guy, he's able to express himself.
Yeah.
He has darkness in him.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. You know, and a lot of people don't know this about me because a lot of people haven't seen me train. But I have this dark side of me that really makes me strong. Like when I'm sparring with people and I think in my mind, like, I'm trying to kill this dude. And it makes me stronger.
Mm.
It makes me, like, invincible. And people were like, man, I was kind of scared. Man, why was you looking at me like that? I'm like, what are you talking about? And in my mind, I know what I'm talking about. But that's just something I have to do is like, it's just really weird. But peace and love. I gave it to my mom.
All right. So the last movie that we're going to talk about is Star Wars.
Ooh.
And I'm not as up to date on the newer Star Wars. I know you love Star Wars. You watch all of them.
And the cartoons.
I remember all the old school Star Wars. So
talk about it.
One of the biggest things that I was always fascinated with Star Wars was Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda.
Mm.
Because, you know, I was never really big on the fighting and, you know, the shooting and, you know, the sword play and stuff like that. They were attractive to me because I looked at them as sages.
They were wise.
They were wise.
They're magicians.
They were. But they had them hands, too. They could fight, too. You know, when I seen Yoda fight, I was like, what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yoda's nice.
But, you know, but the first thing that I seen about them that just drew me to them was, you know, how they just knew everything. They just had this spiritual wisdom about them. It made me think that they must have been life pastors.
Yeah. Well, Jedis get their power through solitude.
Mm.
They don't have relationships with people. They're neither happy nor sad. They're indifferent to things. And that's where they get their power from.
Mm.
See, Star Wars to me was nothing more than a story about polarity.
Mm.
Light against dark, good and bad. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And all Jedi Knights trained for years in the temple, at this Jedi temple.
Mm.
When they were young, Jedis would see that they would feel like, okay, there's a Jedi close. And they would just know where to go to find this Jedi, take the Jedi away from his family, and take him to the temple of crystals.
Wow.
And they would go into this cave, and there would be all these crystals.
Mm.
And the Jedi would make them pull, they call out to a crystal that they like.
Mm.
And depending on the color of the crystal that pulls through them, it was like a mountain of crystal. And they would go inside of this hollow mountain, and the inside was adorned with millions of crystals.
That's how they got their lightsabers?
And that's how they made their lightsabers. They get the crystal, and they put the crystal in the lightsaber, and depending on the color of the crystal, that's the color of the lightsaber.
So Luke Skywalker was, refresh my memory, was his green or blue?
His was blue.
Mm, okay.
He had a blue lightsaber.
So his was probably associated with his third eye?
Well, there was some with purple. There were some with green. Every color.
Well, because I'm thinking of consciousness.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I mean chakras.
Yeah, the throat
or the
chakra
throat?
With the blue one.
Well, there's indigo and then there's
I'm
blue.
A primary color on my
yeah.
man, but his was blue. Yeah, you could be for the third eye. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there were six forms of different lightsaber styles that the Jedi's used. A lot of people don't know that. They think they just swing in a sword. They all fought differently. And there was the Shicho, the Makashi, the Suresu, the Ataru, the Jinjimso, and the Ninman. Each form had their advantages similar to the six senses. So the polarity or the other side of the Jedi's was that they all had something unique about themselves that they were good at. And they were trained for years before they would be able to go out on their own. They always had to have their handler with them.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a seventh form called the Jayu that was like, Yoda considered it the deadliest of all the arts because you had to embrace the dark side to use it.
Mm-hmm.
And you would embrace the dark side so much that you wouldn't be fighting. The dark side would take over through you and the sword. And it was really an acrobatic style where you'd be doing all type of flips and things like that.
That's deep because that's kind of like when you open yourself up to try something new and you call upon your higher self to come in and take over.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And I don't know, you know Darth Maul, the dude that had the double.
Yeah.
That's why he was so bad, because when you embrace the seven sword fighting style, you can fight a legion of regular Jedis, because it wouldn't be you fighting.
Mm.
If you watch the movie carefully, he'd be fighting Obi-Wan from the front. Someone would try to cut him from behind, and he would just, without even looking, boom, block it, because he wasn't in control.
Mm.
That's the beauty about that. But Mace Windu, Samuel Jackson, the first Black Jedi, he embraced this style called the Viped. And the Viped would take the emotions of the dark side and use it against them. But it was so deadly because if you weren't a strong Jedi, it will overtake you and you will become a Sith as well.
Mm.
And the Siths were the Sith Lords were like the evil people. But they were real powerful. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So didn't Darth Vader have a red lightsaber?
He did have a red type lightsaber.
Did most of the bad guys have red?
Most of the bad guys had red.
Mm.
The real powerful Jedis didn't have a saber at all. They didn't need one.
Mm.
They could just manipulate things with their hands. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that makes me think that it's associated with the root chakra.
Mm.
And, you know, your root chakra is the one that's tied into your ego, mm-hmm. your earthly values, you know, your
mm-hmm.
physical, you know.
Desires.
Earthly desires, exactly, yeah. So that kind of makes sense as to why they're so red.
But, you know, Darth Vader wasn't always bad, though. He had some things that happened to him. He was always a powerful Jedi.
Yeah, when I found out, why he had to wear the costume, and I thought he was just like being a bad looking dude. You know, I didn't know
he was burnt by Robert and all that.
Yeah,
his baby mama.
Which
died.
Made sense when they took his mask off and he looked all crazy. I remember as a kid seeing it and being like, that's what Darth Vader looked like.
Ugh, right.
Put the mask back on.
But now we know why.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, good movie now.
Yeah, it was all about polarity.
It was.
Embrace neither the light or the dark. They're both powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But, I'm a firm believer in love is the most powerful force in the universe. Because even if you're dark, you can be transformed to love again.
And, for most of the good characters, they were able to balance that because, like, the character Han Solo, he was, he was a good guy,
mm-hmm.
but he could play dirty if he wanted to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And, like you said, Darth Vader, he started out as a good guy.
Yeah.
Or, he had, and in the end, he kind of switched back to being a good guy before he died.
He did. That was how he was able to live forever.
Mm-hmm.
He was able to ascend.
That's another fascinating thing about the movie,
mm-hmm.
Is the fact that once the, Yoda and Obi-Wan and Darth Vader, once they did transcend, their consciousness was still there.
It's still powerful.
And they were still guiding.
Yeah, the other Jedi.
The other Jedis.
Yeah. And in the new one, Luke Skywalker, he ascended himself. Where he didn't get killed. He just chose to turn to a light beam. He was meditating, hovering off the ground, staring at the sun, and then he turned to a beam of light.
Mm.
A lot of people don't get that. A lot of people don't know that if you go 30 to 60 years with having nothing but positive thoughts, never thinking of anything negative, you can turn to a beam of light and turn to a light beam. And that's what we're here to do, turn to light beams.
Mm-hmm.
There's been 166 people to do this, and it's on record, but no one's talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, I'm working on it. There's a mantra that you say 6,700,000 times
mm-hmm.
before you die, and you can potentially turn to a light being.
Yeah.
That's why I do so much good out here now.
Mm-hmm.
And stay away from negativity.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from it at all costs.
That's why we're always in the sun, too.
That's why we're always in the sun, mm-hmm. always staying away from booze. It's all negative. Dang. Got to start over.
Yes, fam. So I would definitely implore you to look up light beings becoming, turning the light, fascinating stories behind it,
mm-hmm.
As well as, rewatching these four movies, rewatching it with your enlightened mind,
mm-hmm.
seeing things, with more than just your two eyes.
Yeah.
So that's definitely going to be and enjoyment for you.
Mm-hmm.
And we look forward to hearing your feedback on it as well. So
definitely.
Feel free to reach out to us at Twin Flame Radio on Facebook and let us know what you think. So next we're going to talk about our Twin Flame movie pick of the month.
Okay.
So this is when we watch a bomb movie that's so deep that we just got to share it and have the fam watch it.
Yeah.
And so you chose the movie this time, Chris, right?
Yeah, I did.
So tell the fam what you chose.
One of my favorite movies that I've seen was Mr. Nobody. Mr. Nobody. This film examines the unlimited amount of opportunities anyone can live through. Well, there were a lot of complex realities within this movie. The essence of the movie was about a boy making a choice to live with his mother or father. His parents broke up, but the little boy was like 6 years old, and he loved both of his parents together,
mm-hmm.
but he had to make a choice,
mm-hmm.
and he couldn't fathom making a choice. So in the movie, he made a choice to live with his mom, and you see him go through the movie living with his mom, and then he couldn't stop thinking about living with his dad. So simultaneously, while living his life with his mom, he was able to throw his consciousness back to the choice that he made and live with his dad, too. So you're watching the movie, he's experiencing life with his mom and experiencing life with his father. And all the while, you're not sure which one is real. So as the movie's flipping back and forth, he finds a girl. He falls in love with the girl while he's living with his mom. But then he thinks about, man, what if I would have fell in love with that girl that was living with my dad? So it's flipping back and forth between him living with his mom, falling in love, and he started getting good at it to where he can walk down the street and get a Dixie cup and be like, you know what? What if I would have gotten a Snicker? And then he would go and live life eating that Snicker and all the journeys and mm-hmm. trials that come along with this. And all this is running simultaneously. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But by not choosing to live with his mother or his father, he was able to realize that by not choosing, he gained the ability to live simultaneously lives and infinite possibilities within those lives.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like you're living forever almost,
mm-hmm.
you know?
And in the movie, he was like the oldest living original type of man, because it was set in a futuristic type of view where
you didn't
I don't
die
want to
anymore.
Give it away, but
yeah, my fault, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so he was the oldest living
regular
human
that was created through his parents consummated.
Yeah.
Coitus. Yeah.
But it was so deep because he was able to live through several different lives just by, you know, the different choices that he made.
Right.
And it was so deep because he was still able to recall everything too.
Yeah.
Even in his old age, he was able to like relive and it kind of made you wonder like, well, is this a reality that he's in right now or is this something else? And I mean, it's just, that movie can go, it can just run circles around you. It was so good.
It was really good.
It was really good.
And it leads you to believe that you think you know who you are, but at the same time, you feel as if you're imagining this reality.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was a kid, I would look in the mirror and stare at the abyss in my eyes and be like, wow, I feel as if I'm living, but I feel like I'm much more than who I am at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
I've always felt like this being of greatness, but my greatness was kept in this physical body. Like, I was always able to help people, make people feel good. I've always felt like I could do anything I wanted to dang on do. But I felt like this, my physical body had limitations. But there's a Mr. Nobody in all of us. Every time we imagine what would happen, you're embracing the alternative realities of a Mr. Nobody.
You know, the movie was deep for me because it was something that I used to do as a kid. You know, I created this different reality of how life would be had I done things differently. And even until adulthood, it was still something that I still, you know, would flash back on and I could visit, you know, myself in this different setting,
mm-hmm.
you know, living this different type of lifestyle. So when I see Mr. Nobody, it was just it was fascinating for me because it was like, whoa, I've never heard anyone else talk about doing that or being able to do that or anything like
right.
that. And so it was really emotional for me because it was just like, wow, someone gets it. You know, this can be done. You know, mine wasn't as in depth as his was. His in the movie was just like on a whole different level.
Mm-hmm.
But just knowing that you have the ability to change your route, you know, your course in life, and, you know, we have free will, but we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And when you understand how to play along with it and manipulate it, you know, it's a whole new world that opens up for you.
See, when I was watching Mr. Nobody, I started thinking like simply questioning your reality is creating the possibility of that which you question to be. So if I want to be a millionaire, if I think of myself and see myself and envision myself in advance being a millionaire, in time, it will manifest in my reality versus me experiencing being a millionaire and then thinking back on me being a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
So the ability to perceive who you want to be is
mm-hmm.
within all of us. Everyone that's a millionaire now didn't just happen to end up being a millionaire. I don't care if you win the lottery. You made a choice to play the lottery because you had a thought of winning the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
And that made you win. But when you play the lottery and think, I might not win, you won't win. Every millionaire that I've known, and I know some millionaires, they've all said that I felt like a millionaire before I got my money.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, ate, dreamed, walked, talked, acted like a millionaire. The money came corresponding to how I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Like a person losing weight. They think, you know what, I'm done, I'm going to lose some weight. You don't see the weight fall off of you, but it just magically drops off. It corresponds to your will. It
mm-hmm.
bends, this reality bends to your will
mm-hmm.
through your actions.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you're getting fat, that donut looks delicious. I want to eat it, and then you want to get fat. It's just that simple.
You know, I think the fam also needs to know that this is something that you are able to do even in your current state.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to go back to a time when, you know, you were younger and let's say you don't even have to be younger, but if you want to go back to a time where there was a major decision that needed to be made, and you've always wondered what it would have been like had you done it differently,
mm-hmm.
you can go back and actually change that course
mm-hmm.
and then play it out. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's possible.
When I do my consultations with people, a lot of people I talk to, they're really traumatized. And I tell them to go back to when they was having that trauma and create an alternate reality
mm-hmm.
to what happened during that trauma. And what happens is you will be then begin to suppress the actual trauma that physically happened to you. And your brain is going to create new neurons of the possibilities that you believed happened. And that's going to like transform your body, your emotions. It's going to transform your body on a molecular level. And you're going to remember this goodness, and you're going to be able to move past that which caused all the pain.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like psychotherapy. You know, some psychotherapists can go back so far that they can go past this life
mm-hmm.
and go into your other lives. They don't talk about this because they don't want to get now. But it's true. There's always a continuation of consciousness, and you've always been you through the thousands of incarnations. They can go back further than that, but the thing about going back further in different lifetimes, when you unlock that door within your reality or your Akashic records, you can't close it back again if you don't know what you're doing. And there are things that happen in your other lives that you shouldn't remember in this life
mm-hmm.
because you don't want to bring that negative karma or that mental baggage into this one. It'll prevent you from coming back and doing what you needed to do.
Yeah.
Before we incarnate into this reality, we drink a potion that's called Leth. And that Leth makes us forget all the trauma that we've experienced in our past lives.
Mm-hmm.
The show's going on a whole nother turn.
It's all good. Well, we've covered pretty much all of the movies. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
You know, I can talk all day. That's why I like when callers call in, they have questions. I could just go.
Yeah.
Because I've gained the ability to pull from the ether. I've gained this ability where a question is posed. I don't know the answer, but the answer flows out of me. And I'll be like, dang, where'd that come from? it's kind of like a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Not like a medium gift, but a gift of consoling.
And you said you don't have any powers.
I've got powers now, baby. I got all types of powers. Yeah.
All right, fam. So we're going to go ahead and bring this show to an end. We have not discussed what we're going to talk about next week. Do you have any ideas? I have no idea.
I have no idea. We got a whole nother week.
So look for it on our Twin Flame page on Facebook. And watch the movies. Tell us what you think. Rewatch the movies if you've seen them already. Tell us what you think. And then when you watch Mr. Nobody, tell us what you think, because I know you're going to love it.
And stick with it. Don't be like, I can't follow it. Stick with it, family. Stop being so intellectually slow. Man, stick with it. Jeez.
You know, one last thing I want to say is that there are so many jewels. There's so many hidden messages. There's so much information that's in movies that it just makes you think that the people who are creating these movies, they're on another level. This stuff doesn't come out of thin air.
You got to think they got to dumb it down.
Yeah.
And then keep enough of it good so the people that can see what they're trying to tell you is able to comprehend.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine if they just had free will to just really put it out there.
Yeah, if the powers that see would allow them to tell, like, what's really going on.
The powers that see.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
you
Rad.
Know what I meant. Yeah. And
My show's still.
I know. I just didn't mean to say that.
I
mean, let me figure out what I was going to say now.
We just want the powers that be, let them get out there.
I lost it.
Don't give up on it.
It's gone.
Okay.
So, anyway, I'm done. Anything else you want to add?
I have nothing.
All right. Well, fam, we're going to go ahead and bring this show to a close. This has been Twin Flame Radio. We will be back next Monday, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. We don't know what we're talking about, but we'll have something good lined up for you. My name is Divine Queen.
And I'm Chris Enlighten.
And we are out, sending you out with peace and love.
Winning!